Hey, welcome to the program. How are you today? Don't answer. I can't hear you. Today, later on in the program, Dr. Donica Moore will be joining us. She's been on the show before. She's going to talk about having sex after the age of 50. Which, hey, having sex after the age of 30 would be nice. Come on, Donica.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Come on, sing along, you know the words. Hey, welcome to the program, it's the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday. A brand new show, thousands of them to listen to. Just in case you have nothing to do. We talk about everything on this program, and I mean everything. Everything has to do with you as you go through your life, which is a lot of stuff. Everything. Oh, God. I'm known as the grumpy guy. Apparently, I'm not happy with anything. That's the role that I play. In real life, I'm the grumpy guy that's not happy with anything. I think I've been typecasted. When I walk down the street, people say, "Hey, I listen to your show." I say, "Thank you very much. You're very kind." Yeah, you're the grumpy guy that's, like, not happy with everything, are you? No, that's just a part I play. Okay, sure, yeah, right. Well, I mean, in the long run, what is there to be happy about, really? I mean, hopefully in your personal life you're happy, but as soon as you step outside of your personal life, there's one unknown situation that really keeps messing me up, and that's the fact there's people out there, people who don't think like you do, who don't agree with you, who annoy you, who get in the way of things, who get in the way of everything you try to do, any success that you try to make of yourself, there's somebody to knock you down. It's this people thing that seems to be the problem. I mean, Moses could part the Red Sea, which seemed like it was really impossible to do. But yet he walked through the desert with people. Why did you take them with you? Let them figure their own way through the desert, seriously. Besides, Moses really was delusional. Started talking to burning bushes and having conversations with cactus. I've talked about this before, and I'll do it again. I just don't understand the biblical times. They make no sense to me. If I had the ability to turn water into wine, I would have stopped right there. Man, I would have had a multi-million dollar business. Back then, that would have been a lot of money. I'd be walking around turning water into wine just with the snap of my fingers. "Hey, Bob, how you doing? Hey, geez. Hey, can you turn this water into wine? We're having a party tonight." "Sure, Bob. Here you go." "Thanks, Bob. Thanks, geez. You're welcome. Have a nice day. Oh, by the way, that'll be $20. $20 for a bottle of wine? Hey, I made it." "Oh, yeah, okay. Man, Jesus was a carpenter. Why do you bother? Why did you bother making furniture? Toiling over wood all day when you could have just turned water into wine as a profit-making corporation? Wow, do you understand the talent that you had? No one could do that back then. Yeah, they were parting seas. I get it. But they were not turning water into wine. That is something that everybody wants. I mean, seriously. Think of all the wine drinkers. Jeez. Come on. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm trying to make light of a very serious subject. And that's turning water into wine. I don't know. I don't quite understand what the hell was going on. All of a sudden, Noah has to start putting two of every animal on the ark. Can you imagine that? That's ridiculous, man. Have you ever been on an ocean cruise with people? That's bad enough. Stinky animals of every sort on a boat with you? The midnight buffet must have been crazy. And what do you do for a lounge act? Hey, you two elephants, where are you from? Good to see you. That's crazy, man. The ark thing. I don't know. One of the first jobs I ever had was in New York City, in Manhattan. It was a theater called the Beekman Theater. It was a very posh movie house. Red velvet curtains that parted, and the screen, the movie screen would be behind it. Red velvet seats, audience seats. I mean, like, where do you find this kind of thing? They didn't serve coffee in the lounge. They served espresso. This was an incredible place. The ushers were dressed in tuxedos. I mean, this was an incredible movie theater. And I was hired as an usher. And it was not great money, but the prestige and putting that on the resume was worth everything. One of the other ushers was a foreign guy from South America. And his name was Jesus. And Jesus, in your little South American country, is Jesus. But they don't pronounce the J as a Jesus. They do it as an H. So he was Jesus. And I didn't realize that for a while. I thought his name was spelled, his name was Seuss, and people were constantly trying to get his attention. Hey, Seuss, come on, it's time to get to work. Hey, Seuss. And after a few weeks, I realized his name was Jesus, and I thought, well, okay, he's from South America. They have names like that there. So I called him Jesus, and he would respond, and thought that was his name. One day, I saw his name printed on paper. He was signing some type of thing for employment, whatever. And I saw, he put down Jesus, and I thought, well, that's rather bold of you. I mean, I don't walk around signing documents as God. I mean, I could, but I don't. His name was Jesus, and I thought, is that the real one? Is this the second coming as a movie theater usher? I never thought Jesus would come back with a flashlight. But then on the other hand, he's showing people seats, and that could be very religiously incredible. Shining the light so that people can find their way, that's a Jesus thing, isn't it? So, and then I realized that, okay, that's just the way you pronounce his name, and that his parents actually named him Jesus. And I thought, most people name their kids after a relative, not after a deity. I mean, wow, that's pretty heavy. I mean, do you get ribbed in school if your name is Jesus? Hey, Jesus, you want to erase the blackboard and turn the erasers into wine? Oh, Jesus. No, I don't. He might have been ribbed in school, but I don't know. That was his name. And I had a new respect for him. All of a sudden, I thought he was a wonderful person. Before, he was just a guy walking around with a flashlight. Now I respected him because his name was Jesus. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you never know. It could be him. You don't know. Could be disguising himself as a movie theater usher. You better be nice to this guy. We're not sure. It could be him. Everybody was expecting the second coming, walking around going, is he here yet? Is he here? Is he here yet? Yes, he's in my movie theater. He's an usher. Oh, I don't know. It's possible. Anything's possible. I just thought that was amazing. Be named like that. Wow. I guess you're going to sit in the front of the class all the time with a name like that. I mean, how can anybody turn you down? When Jesus would go up to a girl and say, would you like to go out with me on a date? We can have dinner. Would you like to go out? I don't know, Jesus. You're a nice guy. You got a great name, but I don't know. I think I'll wait till the third coming. Is that okay with you? I can't believe I'm doing a show talking like this. It's just... I must be offending somebody somewhere, but I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to be lighthearted in this world of total confusion. Every corner of the world is something wrong. The Middle East, oh God, don't even bother. Don't even bother talking about that. China, don't even bother. Russia, oh come on, don't even bother talking about that. North Korea, don't even bother talking about that. That's crazy. South America. Whoa. Venezuela. Don't even bother talking about that. Mexico. They're trying to get in and knocking the border walls down. And yeah, right. Don't even talk about Mexico. Not in front of that guy. Well, where am I supposed to go? What about Europe? How about Europe? Should we talk about Europe? That's Brexit. They're going to break from the union, and things are going to get crazy over there. I don't even want to talk about that. What am I supposed to talk about? I guess the comedy of religion. I don't know. I tell you, I do respect religion seriously, and I'm not trying to make fun. I do respect it only because people really believe in that. And that's their guiding light and their soul and their inner peace. And I would never mess with that. That's great. That's great. I think the perfect way, I couldn't say that word. The perfect way to bring up your children, if you have them, if you don't have children, don't bother, is to open them up to understand all religions. I mean, you might favor one because you were brought up in that religion, all that stuff, but you've got to understand all of them and where they come from. Do you know what the number one religion that people talk about that they want to be? If you said to somebody, what religion would you really want to be if you didn't have any? And they chose Buddhism. Buddhism. Buddhism is the religion that people talk about and go to, perhaps not understanding it, because there's a fairly obese, happy guy sitting down looking really happy. And that doesn't seem to be a bad religion. It promotes peace and understanding and tolerance and understanding and meditation. Man, it sounds like a great religion. I would even pay a membership fee to be a part of that thing. I love the statues. I love the theory and the concept. I don't know much more about it than that because I don't really care to know more. If I knew more, I'd probably be disillusioned about that too. You know, they say knowledge is power. I'm not sure anymore. I don't think knowledge is power. I think knowledge is destructive. I think everything's cool until you find out about it, and then it's not so great anymore. And if that's knowledge, that ain't working for me. Before I got into radio, which seems like a century ago, before I got into radio, I didn't know that much. Really, Ron? It's hard to tell. And then when I started doing radio, I had to know a little bit about everything. I used to take calls when I did my morning show. I used to do a morning show for one of the stations for 3 hours, the other one for 4 hours every single weekday morning. And a lot of it was driven by phone calls from listeners, and we would take the calls on the air. And most of them were literal morons. Then they thought that I, because I had a radio show, knew everything. Well, after a while, that knowing everything does seep into you because you do have to know everything so that you can answer everything somewhat intelligently or at least get into some conversation about it. And when you do interviews with people, like I have for decades, you learn from experts. So you do pick up a lot of stuff. But bliss, true mental bliss, occurred before I got involved with this. I didn't know much of anything, just like you. And it was blissful. I didn't know stuff. Then when I started getting the scoop on everything, things got pretty depressing. Oh, I love talcum powder. Did you know that talcum powder causes cervical cancer? Oh, great, thanks. So much for talcum powder. Next. The more I knew, the less good it was. It ruined things for me. Ron, there is no Santa Claus. Oh, no. That was great stuff then. I thought a big fat man in a red suit came down a chimney and brought toys, and if there was no chimney, would somehow get into the house with burglary tools and leave presents for me. And how do you explain the milk and cookies being consumed overnight on Christmas Eve? Oh, no, are you serious? See, the more you know, the less good it is. Not good, man. Not good. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to make a point. That's all I'm ever trying to do, make a point. What else is there to do but make a point? I guess I live to hear people say to me, hey, Ron, you know, you got a point. Ah, I got a point. And tell me, how many points does it take before I win the prize? Is there a point when I've won the point and I have enough points? I get emails from CVS and Walgreens telling me how many points I have accumulated over a period of time to come down to the store and collect my points, spend my points. I don't know what you're talking about. Can we talk in the terms of dollars or something? Like you've got $7 you can spend. The hell was it? What's with your points? Stop with the points thing. I need a calculator. I need to know the table of equivalence. Stop with the points. Hey, Ron, good news. You've got 25,000 points toward purchase. Purchase of what? Points of what? Points. I can buy things with points. I can walk into a store and just point at things and therefore they're mine. Is that what the point means? What is the point of your points? I'm confused. The points. I don't get it. Do you think I'm sexy?
Okay, Ron Van Dam may not be the prettiest face in radio, but come on, that voice, am I right? Ooh. You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the sexiest voice in podcasting on New England Broadcasting.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. There's a point that makes sense. Dr. Donica Moore joins us. She's coming up right now. She's a wonderful man. I love her name, Dr. Donica Moore. I don't know, something about it. Something about it. It's better than Jesus. Yeah. Who do you worship? Jesus. I worship Dr. Donica Moore. Oh, that sounds better. No, it's not better. It's just a more interesting name. And she's probably quite attractive, but I really don't know, and I don't care, because that's not what we're talking about, kind of. When you turn 50, things start happening to both the male and female body. But the female body goes through something called menopause. It should be womanopause, but it's not. I don't know why not. Why a condition that women go through at a certain age would have the word men in it. I'm floored by it. I assume it's a derivative from some foreign language. I really don't know. I kind of don't care. I'm just remarking how odd it is that the word men is in menopause which is something a woman goes through and a man doesn't. I can't figure these things out, and they bother me. You see, the more you know, the more you get bothered. This is what I'm talking about. I guess after the age of 50, things start happening to the woman's body. You get hot flashes, you get, I don't know, feels like you're getting the flu all the time, I guess. I haven't had it, but then things happen to your sexual areas. Things happen. And I'm not talking about your boobs sagging, which is a problem, I must say. I suppose. I kind of don't care, but you do, so whatever. Boob sag? Oh, that's not good. Anyway, menopause takes place, and your sexual drive changes. It changes for men, too, by the way. Men, don't let them tell you otherwise, because men are defined by their virility. That's it. Look in a dictionary under men, and it says virility. That's it. That's all that matters. So, yeah, men get psychologically, and it affects them, too. They're just not as excited about things anymore. They've been through life. It's been 50 years, 55 years. They've been through life. And to be honest with you, nothing seemed to be that exciting. Or if it was, it's not anymore. There's only a certain number of times you can be excited by something to the point where you say, okay, like, I'm not excited by that anymore. I mean, it's like going to a restaurant. You know, I can't wait. Can't wait. It's almost 4:30. I'm going to have my favorite meal. Oh, boy. You do that for like 20 years or 50 years, and it's like, oh, God, here we go again. Here we go again with that meal. It's the same thing with women. It's menopause, man. And sometimes in women, sex can be quite painful. Hey, sex was painful for me at the age of 20. I got to tell you that. Some of the girls, man, ooh, was that painful. Ooh, ouch. Anyway, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Is that obvious to you? Dr. Donica Moore joins us. Let's speak to her, Dr. Donica Moore. Let me get her going here. Here we go. And I'm speaking to Dr. Donica Moore. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to speak to you today. Well, Valentine's Day is just around the corner, but this is about, you're a women's health expert, I understand.
I am, thank you.
Okay. And we're talking about the sexual health issues that affect women over 50, which kind of means it would affect the men too. Let's talk about that.
Well, absolutely. There are many changes that a woman's body goes through after menopause. And of course, with menopause, the average age in the United States is 51. But that means some women go into menopause much earlier and some women go into menopause later. Hot flashes have become news flashes over the past couple of decades, so women have those symptoms pretty well covered. However, there are many other symptoms of menopause that we don't generally talk about in the news, and particularly painful sex after menopause. Hmm. This is a condition that affects about half of all menopausal women, so that's about 32 million women in the United States.
Right.
So it's fairly common, and this is one of the last taboo areas that women are very reluctant to talk about, not only with their doctors, but also with their partners.
Yeah.
So this is important for women to be aware of, as well as their partners to be aware of.
Interesting. I'm going to assume that it's never discussed with their partners. I mean, I guess there's one or two women that would. But for the most part, I guess there'd be no point in them even mentioning it, even though they may be suffering through it. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that is accurate. It might be more like three or four women do discuss it. But one of the issues is that women have been disparaged over the years with this, you know, not tonight, honey, I have a headache kind of thing.
Yeah.
And obviously, 50 Shades of Grey to the contrary, if sex is painful, most women are not going to be really that interested in engaging in it again.
Yeah.
Women are reluctant to talk about it for a whole myriad of reasons, not only the taboo, but there's guilt, there's shame, there's blame. They don't want to feel like, or they don't want their partners to feel like they're blaming them.
Yeah.
And especially if you've been in a longer-term relationship, you know, all of a sudden there's this change. How did this happen? But it doesn't go from being totally fine one day to being totally painful the next. It's a gradual change. And women may not realize, and certainly men don't realize, that these are a result of normal age-related changes that happen to the vaginal tissues as a result of the decreased estrogen that comes along with menopause. You know, menopause means you're not having your period anymore.
Right.
But the reason for that is your body is just not producing enough estrogen.
Yeah.
And that can affect all of the tissues in your body.
Now, I mean, men might be able to relate to it in a totally different manner because obviously there's pain involved in what a woman goes through. But a man gets erectile dysfunction, which is not a painful situation, but a psychologically embarrassing one. And they, I guess in the same numbers, wouldn't ever mention that to their partner unless it becomes obvious.
Well, I think in that case, it's very obvious to the partner. You may not know this, but some women, I don't know any of them, but some women actually fake response during sex.
Get out.
So their partners,
it's true.
It's a secret. I'm violating the sisterhood by telling you this.
I had no idea.
But so some partners really may not be aware. The good news is that by talking to your physician, there are treatment options available. And this is another reason women don't go to their doctors, because they think they know what all the options are, and they haven't been successful. So the good news is that there are options that are non-estrogen. There's now an option called Osfina, which is a non-estrogen oral pill, which can not only treat the symptoms of this problem, which is called dyspareunia, or painful sex after menopause, but it can repair and rebuild the vaginal tissue changes that are as a result of menopause.
Is the pain come from the irritation of the friction, or is it a muscle pain? What is it from?
That's a great question. No, it is from the irritation.
Uh-huh.
What happens in menopause, you know, and over the first couple of years, is there are changes in the vaginal pH, and also in two types of cells in the vaginal wall, the superficial cells and the parabasal cells. And the way I like to explain it to women is we're all very aware of menopausal changes that affect the skin on our faces.
Mm-hmm.
Those similar changes are actually in the tissues of the vagina as well. So the tissues become what we call more friable, which is just a medical fancy schmancy word for more easily irritated. And the tissue actually thins. Most women refer to this as vaginal dryness, but it's actually much more involved than that. It's not just a dryness situation that just a lubricant could usually heal.
Okay. So a lubricant.
It's beyond that.
All right. I got you.
So for some women, a lubricant may be a good start, but lubricants don't do anything to repair or rebuild the tissues.
Ouch. Wow. I had no idea. Let me ask you a question a little bit off the subject. I know some young ladies who have hot flashes in their 20s and early 30s. Is that normal?
There are many things that can cause hot flashes at any age, but it's never quote-unquote normal. Just because something is common doesn't mean it's normal, but in their 20s and 30s, that is not common. Another thing that many women unfortunately don't know till it's too late is there is a form of menopause called premature ovarian failure that can affect women for a number of reasons under 40.
Okay.
They need to see their doctors right away. Now, it may not be that. You can also get hot flashes from the flu or any kind of infection or even thyroid problems. Certain medications can also cause hot flashes.
Okay.
So usually when we hear about a symptom, we try to evaluate the most common reasons first. But sometimes it's, you know, something totally unrelated.
Okay.
But if they're having hot flashes in their 20s and 30s, they definitely need to go see their doctor.
We're running a little short of time, I think, but I do want to get through what we were talking about originally, what you were talking about originally. Are women not even talking about it to their friends or their doctors?
Well, women are notoriously good at talking to their girlfriends about just about everything,
right.
But this seems to be the last taboo.
Oh.
I would like to encourage women to talk to their girlfriends, talk to if they're having these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And one way is to say, you know, I heard this discussion on the Ron Van Dam show today, and I never knew this. Did you know this? Of course, they can go for more information. They can go to painfulsexaftermenopause.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if Osfina is recommended by their doctor, they can get a savings card there. But of course, the most important person for a woman to talk to if she's having any unusual or uncomfortable symptoms with sex or menopause or anything else, is to her personal physician.
Hey, it's great talking to you. I'm glad you brought this out and you're doing this tour. It's really important because the things that people don't talk about are the very reasons that we do things like this. Have yourself a wonderful day. Thank you so much, Dr. Donica Moore.
Thank you. Take care, Ron.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's enough. Well, I'm out of here for now. This would be great. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. In the meantime, I guess go down to the pharmacy where you've earned a lot of points and buy some cream. You know what I'm saying? Lotion takes care of everything. It does. Try it. It's nice. It's soothing. I wish you peace.